Rolene Marks, a very, very good morning. Thanks for speaking to us a few moments early.
Good morning. As you can well imagine, I've had my morning digest of tabloids with my coffee this morning. So exciting. Was that the music to Murder, She Wrote?
It was indeed. Well done. That was another question, another time. No, you don't get a prize. Well, your prize is to tell us about what is going, I can't follow it. There's so much going on with Megxit. It is absolutely insane. Meghan has left the building. She's left Archie back in Canada. It's chaos.
And she's left Harry to deal with the fallout. Has she yoked the royal family, Howard? I mean, this is what I want to know.
Interesting. Nice way of putting it. All right. Where are we up to? And did anybody see this coming?
You know what? I think we've all seen it coming. They've rabbited on for a while that, you know, they're not happy with their, with the way things are going, with their press coverage. And yesterday or the other day when they made the announcement, they have very, very famously excluded the Royal Rota, which is kind of their way of controlling the press. Now, the one thing the media hates, and that is to be cut out or silenced. And especially when it comes to issues like surrounding the royal family, you've got to be able to cover it without bias. And yes, in all fairness, Meghan has received some horrendous press over the last couple of years, some of it legitimate. I mean, you know, we do reserve the right to call out hypocrisy if you're going to virtue signal on climate change and then hop on 11 private jets. But some of it has been really appalling. But now, if you look across these publications that they have banned or cut from the Royal Rota, the gloves are off. And it wouldn't surprise me if all the skeletons are going to come out of the closet. But I think, you know, many people think, well, you know what, good for them. If they're not happy, you've got to look after your happiness first. There's a baby.
Oh, hold on, Rolene. Does Harry look happy? He looks like the most miserable little schlamazel in the world. He really does. He used to be happy. You know what? When you are running through Las Vegas naked, playing billiards, I don't know. He looked happy. What's funny is that it's true.
From various journalists who've covered Harry over the years, and they've said, you know, he used to be the kind of guy that at the end of a tour would take them to the bar, you know, foot the bill, joke around with them. But since she's come on the scene, and it's very hard not to blame Meghan, because since she's come on the scene, he's become verkrimpt, as you've just said. There's rifts with William and Catherine, whereas before you used to see them out and laughing and joking. A lot of commentary that Meghan is very, very controlling. The friends are now starting to speak, his friends saying, you know, they were frozen out. And you can't, anytime somebody disagrees with you, throw a hissy fit and just sideline them. But Howard, the big money is, how long is this marriage going to last?
Well, I don't think it is going to last. I really don't believe it is. And the fact that he has remained behind to deal with the fallout while she's toddled off to back to Canada and left him alone, I think is really appalling. What's interesting to me, though, is South Africans had a glimpse of the old Harry. And we saw that when he went into the change rooms just after the World Cup in Japan. And we saw Harry. We saw that guy that we used to know and love. And I thought that was so interesting because she wasn't with him.
And if you watch that,
I sound like a miserable mother-in-law, don't I? She's not good enough for our Harry. What?
He actually mentions, they say to him, have a beer, and he says, not on camera, because the rumors are that she's prohibited him from drinking, and he has to be vegan, and he has to be super woke. And we don't want super woke Harry. We want Harry running around Las Vegas naked.
100%. Drunk. No, but that's, he's a lad. He's like a, that was his image. That's who he was. He was the younger, naughty brother. He wasn't the serious, woke environmentalist.
He's even aged. Like, I saw his face.
Yes.
He's
got wrinkles. Looks terrible. Because vegans don't always look good, Sanati. I mean, it might be good for the planet, but it's not good for the skin.
But I think this whole thing is, you know, if you want to go gay gesunte hate, I think they will find American celebrities will tire of them very soon, as soon as something more interesting comes along, or they can't milk them for all their royal worth. But I think the truly appalling thing is how the Queen has been treated through this.
Yeah, so I think that is the question, because she really has been treated terribly. And no matter what one thinks of the monarchy and whether you're a royalist or not, she has been a superb queen. She also hasn't had much joy or much nachas, as we say in Hebrew, from her children. Andrew has given her a run for her money this year. But she really didn't deserve this, did she?
She didn't deserve this. I mean, if you take out the fact that she is the monarch, she's also a 93-year-old bobba with a 98-year-old husband who is poorly at the moment. And, you know, it's come to light that she had to chase Harry to see where they were on Christmas. This is not how you treat the elders in your family.
I had to treat my grandmother like... So, Nelly, what would happen if you had to treat your grandmother like that? Ooh.
Hey? No.
Exactly.
A belt. A belt would happen.
Right, exactly.
Maybe. But we've seen, and Piers Morgan, I mean, you got to love Piers. I waited all day yesterday, Howard, for his op-ed on this. But Piers Morgan, in my opinion, has said it right. You know, she sidelined her family, she sidelined her friends, and she's now succeeded in sidelining Harry from his family, and that, to me, is the true tragedy.
Well, that's actually a classic sign of abuse. I've been looking for signs in Harry's pasta to say help, or him blinking funny in Morse code, because there's definitely something going on there. And I think it's not going to be
smoke signals, because she's banned him smoking.
Oh, for goodness. You see, he can't even communicate with us.
Nope.
And then he says he loves her. I think it's Stockholm syndrome.
I also think it's Stockholm syndrome. You know, so many people have said that they've warned him, you know, don't marry her. It's now come out that people have said, you know, she's super ambitious. And if she doesn't get her way, then, you know, yalla bye, as we say here in the Middle East, you're gone.
Yeah, crazy. She really is. You have to give her that. I mean, she is very impressive as far as her ambition goes. It's raw power that she is after. And I wouldn't be surprised if one day she doesn't become the president of the United States.
Well, you know, if the celebrity apprentice guy can do it, like, why not the girl from Deal or No Deal?
Absolutely. And she's got all the right friends. I mean, the Clooneys are her big mates. Oprah's there for
Beyonce as well.
Beyonce,
yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a cabinet right there.
Gosh, so woke. Can you imagine? Can you only imagine? So,
where is Ricky Gervais when you need him?
Oh, he was wonderful. He was absolutely wonderful this week at the Golden Globes. All right, let's move on to things Israel. Unsurprising, certainly to me, because I thought this was the case the moment I heard the news. The Iranians have now been accused of having shot down that Ukrainian airline. This came out early last evening.
Well, this is just too awful. You know, just to put people back into the picture, shortly after takeoff in Tehran, a Ukrainian Airlines jet, it was a Boeing 737, crashed, killing all 176 on board. And, you know, the mystery kind of kept evolving over the last couple of days. You know, we had the news that the Iranians wouldn't hand over the black boxes. The Iranian Civil Aviation Authority yesterday wouldn't comment. As the tensions were rising, many airlines refused to fly in that part of the world, fearing that aircraft could have been hit by missiles, whether intentionally or errantly. And it has come out that Iran fired two Russian-made missiles at the jetliner. They say they mistook the plane for a U.S. bomber. But the footage of missiles hitting the plane was apparently captured by satellites and in video, which shows the missile hitting the flight just moments after takeoff. You know, we heard one of the preliminary findings was that one of the engines caught fire, and it caused the pilot to lose control and the plane to crash. Now we know that, and we have the video footage, that it's now confirmed that it was a missile. Some say anti-aircraft missile, some say other kind of missile, but it is a real, real tragedy. But late last night, the Iranians apparently asked Canada to share whatever evidence they had. The majority of passengers were Canadians. They were apparently students who were returning to universities in Canada. And they've now also said to Boeing that they can take part in the official inquiry into the crash. And this comes just 2 days after they refused to hand those black boxes in.
What's interesting to me is that there's a lot of talk around and an assumption, certainly by most of the press, that this was an accident. Do we believe that this was an accident? And if the Iranian, not that the Iranians have admitted anything, but even if they do say it's an accident, can we believe it?
Can we believe it? You know, we've got to look at who Ukraine is. Russia are in a state of conflagration in enemy entity status. Was it an accident? I don't know if I'm 100% convinced of that. I don't think it's too difficult in an airport to check whether or not the plane taking off is a passenger airline or a military aircraft.
Especially because it came from your own airport. If it was flying it came in from another place, maybe you could think that it's an enemy aircraft. This took off from Tehran's airport and was shot down a few moments later.
Yeah, I see Gimple the Fool tweeting at us, Howard, saying that it was not a mistake. I tend to agree. I don't think military aircraft take off from OR Tambo or any other major airport. They take off from air bases or aircraft carriers. I tend to follow Gimple's theory. I think it was a warning shot to the world, you know. Don't mess with the Iranians. We're also capable of causing mass destruction. And we also can't forget that Iran is the largest state sponsor of terror. And they feel no compunction to commit terror acts, whether it be through their proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas here in the region or elsewhere. And they've also said, they warned President Trump, they said that they're going to seek revenge and it's not going to come through their proxies. So maybe this is a part of it.
But then I would have imagined if they were seeking revenge that they would have claimed it, because part of the whole retaliation it would be saving face. So surely they wouldn't want to say, no, it was an accident, and then somebody proves that it wasn't, and then they say it was a mistake. Surely that wouldn't play into that narrative. That's what confuses me a little bit about this.
Well, really, it's becoming one of the greater mysteries of this year. And this year's only 10 days old.
I know. I just tweeted that this morning. I thought this is insane. We've had Megxit. We've got the Australian fires. We've got Iran versus US. We've got the Ukrainian airline coming down. And it's only the 10th. People haven't even gone back to work yet.
Exactly. And in reaction to this horrible tragedy, many European countries have asked their aircraft to turn around in midair. The US, Canada, Britain, Australia, they've all confirmed that Iran shot down the plane, but countries like Germany, they've instructed their Lufthansa aircraft, if you're flying anywhere in the region, turn your aircraft back and return to Germany.
An incredibly, incredibly fascinating and very, very disturbing turn of events. And of course, we'll keep a very, very close eye on this whole situation. Other news that we do want to talk about coming out of Israel is the incredible and very sad, in some cases, torrential rains. Tell us about it.
Well, we're at a a 51-year high in torrential rains that have hit, in particular, northern Israel over the last week or so. And it has resulted in several tragedies. Last week, we had the couple that were trapped in the elevator in South Tel Aviv, a horrendous accident. They were on their way to their basement parking. The power went out. The water came in and flooded the elevator, and they subsequently drowned. Terrible, terrible story. The other day, another terrible tragedy with 38-year-old Moti Ben Shabbat. He had seen a family car had overturned in the torrential rain. He saw a baby seat in there. The baby was stuck in there, and trying to get to the car to try and offer some kind of help, he was swept away by the torrential water. And the waters move very, very quickly. You know, if anybody's been to Israel, and I know, Howard, you and I spoke about that horrendous event several years ago where kids were out hiking. They were, apparently the teachers were warned not to take the kids to this particular area, because when the rains come in, they come in very, very quickly, and the wadi, the little like valleys, they flood very, very quickly. And it's the same all over the country. When the rains come, because we don't have very, very good drainage, the waters come in and they move very quickly, and he was swept away in this fast-moving water. And apparently over 1,000 people attended his funeral in Nahariya yesterday, and there have been several others who've drowned as a result of torrential rains. The IDF have had to come out with their big military vehicle to try and rescue people. Prime Minister Netanyahu appealing yesterday on the news to Israeli citizens, saying to them, please listen to any instructions coming from rescue or emergency personnel. We're trying to help you. But, you know, when we see these kind of events, we also see the best of humanity. And yesterday, members of Arab communities who work in construction were coming out with their big heavy-duty vehicles to help pull people who were stuck either in their homes or in the streets because of flooding.
It's really a terrible situation, and Israel's emergency services were not particularly efficient either, certainly in the case of that young couple that drowned in Tel Aviv. Lots of allegations around the fact that people just couldn't get hold of them.
Absolutely. It apparently took at least three attempts to try and get hold of emergency services, and they took quite a while to get there. But the Prime Minister has asked for an inquiry into this. Why did they take so long? Why did it was a needless death? Why did these two young people have to die in such a horrendous way due to, as some say, inefficiency of emergency services?
Really, really, really a terrible situation indeed. And, we're going to... what is the prediction over the next week in terms of the weather?
Well, looking at weather conditions where I am, we're starting to warm up next week. Next week's temps are about 17, 18 and relatively sunny, but it's in the north, and we're hoping that these torrential floods will be over with, and... you know, we don't mind the rain. The rain is a blessing. We're a country that needs the rain, and the Kinneret is up. I mean, the minute winter comes, we all whip out the tape measure so that we can measure the Kinneret. Well, not literally the tape measure. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, because there are apps for that today.
There's apps for that, exactly. So we're expecting moderate rain, but not this torrential flooding that we've had over the last week or so.
All right. And finally, Spotify removes the playlist glorifying Hitler. Zanati mentioned that in the news. What is going on with this? Just give us the background here.
Well, I mean, when I saw this, I had to read this headline a few times yesterday. But Spotify, yet another, I don't know, is it a social media thing? I know it's an app. I'm so not woke, Howard. I'm so not woke. I need Harry and Meghan to wake me up.
No, so Spotify is I guess it's an app, but it is a music app. And I use it actually all the time. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant app. You can create playlists, and you've got different sections. It's really good.
And podcasts and like,
yeah, it's got everything,
all these
everything.
Interesting kind of things. Well, yesterday, songs glorifying Adolf Hitler and saying, you know, advocating for Jews to be gassed, popped up on the Spotify playlist. Now, these playlists are not monitored. And here we have that whole issue that Sacha Baron Cohen was speaking about a couple of weeks ago, calling for better monitoring. You know, these companies need to better monitor the content. You know, there's a big difference between censoring and monitoring. But in this case, you can't allow for this neo-Nazi hate invective to pop up on a playlist near you. But we have to give it up for Spotify, because once they were alerted to the fact that there were songs glorifying Hitler and saying Jews to the gas, they took it off immediately and opened an investigation into that.
Again, we are seeing more and more of this type of thing. And you saw what I sent you this week. I sent you some screenshots of some of the anti-Semitic stuff that I was dealing with. What is responsible for this? Why are we starting to see so much more of this? And I don't believe it's just because we're publicizing it. It is happening, and it's actually translating into real deaths and real anti-Semitic events.
It's a very, very important question. I was having the same conversation with somebody yesterday when the story of the elderly man in the care facility in Toronto, where his nephew came to visit him and he had a swastika drawn on the back of his head. This is an Alzheimer's patient. He apparently had one drawn on his back as well, but it was washed off. I think there are many, many things that are responsible. I think there's a lack of monitoring. Yesterday I mentioned that the perpetrators of anti-Semitic events, like in Berlin this week with a 68-year-old man who was assaulted both sexually and with anti-Semitic invective, I think there's a lack of adequate education. As the years go on and we post-Holocaust, people are not learning about they're not receiving adequate Holocaust education. They're not internalizing the lessons. I think that the fact that latent anti-Semitism has been allowed to flourish in the far right and the far left, and as you so rightly have said, the two actually meet in the middle when it comes to these kind of issues, that is going basically unfettered. It's being allowed to flourish. I think that we are with you, thoughts and prayers are with the Jewish community. We need proper legislation. We need proper, as we say in Hebrew, tachlis action to deal with rising anti-Semitism. We don't need de Blasio saying, we are with you, let's blame Trump. It's enough of blame politics. We need action.
You know what's interesting to me as well is I have a fair amount of people that follow me on Facebook. People read my things and very often comment on it. One guy earlier this week, and I have spoken about it, he writes, he was commenting and he told me my piece on Soleimani was appalling. And then he writes, has Mr. Feldman written on the situation that, what the amount of people that Israel has killed? Okay, so we know what he's about. And then he writes, oh wait, Mr. Feldman is a J, right?
What's a J?
Well, I thought it was Jane B, but it turns out it isn't. He thinks, he's assuming rightfully saying that I'm a Jew. It's not something I hide, so it's not difficult to see. But therefore that is already a way in which he's looking at it. My point that I'm making, and he goes on to say that Jesus was right. He said the Jews are the children of Satan. In fact, Jesus actually never said that, but that's got nothing to do with anything. What's interesting to me is how few people actually got involved in that conversation. Maybe four or five people stood up to this guy. And I find that quite interesting as well. People are very quick to comment on social media. People are very quick to give their view if they like your glasses or don't like your glasses. But here I was being attacked for being a Jew on social media, and how few people. And it's not I'm really not reprimanding, but I find it interesting how few people stood up to it. Are we afraid? Is that the issue? It is 9 minutes past the hour of 8. A very good morning if you've just joined us. On the line is Rolene Marks. She's joining us from Israel. And I raised a subject just before we went, or a question just before we went to the news. And what I was asking is as follows. I had a run in with a very, very clear anti-Semite this week. And what I found interesting was, despite the number of people that follow me on Facebook, how few got involved. Now, it actually isn't a criticism of anybody, because I really can handle myself. And to some extent, I'm relieved that people didn't, because I'm a little bit nervous about what they would say and how inflamed it would get. But what I am interested in is why people didn't. And people who had read the comments and who had read the tweets, some really, really bad stuff, didn't get involved. And that's the question that I'm interested in discussing. Rakhadi says, I would say that we are scared to stand up against anti-Semitism. Mm. In my circle of church communities, there seems to be a convoluted mental gymnastics where Israel is seen as akin to the apartheid government. Therefore, anti-Semitism is justified. Jonathan says it's not that they're scared to stand up to anti-Semitism. It's just that that they are irrational. Their arguments stand no ground, however, and they keep pressing on points that there's no way to get through. They are either ignorant, naive, or don't know better, but it's what they have been taught. Very, very interesting indeed. Yossi says, Boker Tov, Howie and Rolene, could it not be the fear of either being victimized in the workplace or losing a clientele, which can stem from a single tweet? I personally stay away entirely from politics on social media and use a pseudonym when even commenting on radio. That's from Yossi V. Rolene, your thoughts?
Okay, I've got quite a few thoughts on this, as you can well imagine. It saddens me deeply that people are scared. And I noticed that this week there was the incredible campaign, hashtag Jewish and Proud, which I put up on my Facebook page. Got a lot of likes, but very, very few people took the courageous step to say I'm Jewish and I'm proud. I understand people's fear, and I understand people are scared of being victimized, but I want to say something important. Anti-Semitism is not a political issue. Anti-Semitism is a societal issue. It's a societal issue that doesn't just affect Jews, it affects everybody. And here I'm appealing to our allies from other communities. We need your voices as well, because as long as there is silence, it creates the environment for this to flourish. It's a global issue which needs a global response. You know, it's not something that just Israel should be left to deal with because, you know, we're safe in the Jewish homeland. It's something that affects every single person, because what starts with the Jews doesn't end with the Jews. If we're the first minority community in the line of fire, which community is next? I do hear the argument that when it comes to issues on Israel, people lose their minds, including from the Jewish community. They lose all sense of rationale, and they become in many cases just as abusive, which is why
I said I'm actually sometimes happy that people don't get involved. The point that I do want to make, and I actually should have made it in the beginning, is what they were talking about and why this became anti-Semitic was even more interesting, because the subject wasn't about Israel or about Jews. I was talking about the Iranian situation, but because I identify very openly as an Orthodox Jew, that became the point. So Nati, you wanted to say something on this.
Yeah, I've had a similar thing. So because I was, I try to have a debate about the Soleimani issue, but the thing is, it seems that everything I say is cancelled because I work for Jews.
Yeah, you know, you were talking to a friend about it, weren't you?
Yeah. So literally everything that I say is cancelled. And the thing is, it's literally because
we also
get abused as people that are associated.
I was just going to say, you're not even Jewish and you get, and you're suffering from anti-Semitism. That's terrible.
It's weird. That's
cancel culture this cancel culture is becoming almost, it's spreading like a plague.
Because it's all about identity. Everything is identity. We have learned to identify. We have to start off identifying ourselves by our pronouns. That's where it's got to. So because we have to identify, then we see a cis white male, white, I don't know, you Jewish. You've got to be identified. And once you have been slotted into a certain group, well, then everything about the way we view your opinion is determined by that identity. It is so dangerous that I don't know where this leads.
And your argument immediately gets cancelled because you identify as whatever you identify. Exactly.
Mm. I mean, you can't see me, but I'm nodding my head in agreement. And while we're speaking, a tweet has just popped up from this at Sussex Royal. It's not the, the two we were talking about earlier. But it's popped up, the many grey, as Diana called them. Just where do these grey courtiers get their orders from? The Tsarists. The Duke of Sussex reportedly tried to meet with the Queen, but was blocked by courtiers.
What?
I mean, I didn't.
What?
This has, I'm actually going to retweet this.
Oh, you must. So hold on. Who's the Tsarist in this whole thing? In the Meghan story, there's a Tsarist. I don't know. It's very, very confusing. But that's the point. That's a level of irrationality that we have descended into. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Rolene, what do you suggest that people do? So they see something on social media. Should they engage in it? Should they come to somebody's defense? I don't really know what the answer is myself, but I'd love your thoughts on it.
I don't know what the answer is. I do really, really appeal to anybody, if you are going to answer, please answer factually
and rationally. Absolutely.
It creates more danger when you start attacking. You don't look like heroes. And I see on numerous WhatsApp groups, I'll often see, hey, Oaks, let's go fight some anti-Semite. And then it becomes a slinging match because it just becomes trading one accusation after the other without any nuance. And we just look like morons without any kind of context. And in some cases, class. Sorry, have to put it out there. If you're going to answer factually, answer rationally. I think everybody should speak up against any kind of social injustice, including anti-Semitism. I think that if you are a victim of any kind of invective on social media or anywhere else, report it immediately. I think one of the reasons we are hearing so many cases is that people are starting to report, people are starting to speak up, and that's why we're hearing about so many incidents. And really, guys, don't be scared to be proud of who you are. We have just as much a right to sit at the table of humanity as anybody else does.
Rolene Marks, that's where we leave it. Thank you for that extra report. Not only did we start early, but we ended late. It was absolutely wonderful. Lots to talk about. We can continue this conversation. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. You have a Shabbat Shalom. Stay dry and stay safe.